activities this week has kind of thrown me a little to the left. Been throwing a few curveballs. But God's in control. We trust Him totally. We know that He's there. And I know I've got a praying church family. And I know that we together can help pray and love Bethany out of whatever kind of problem she's in. I'm not even worrying about that part. I know that's going to be fine. Amen. And so that part there, that brings me reassurance. But just trying to get through the unknowns, you know, there's a lot of unknowns. And so that's always the part that always gets us. And when you're in an unknown situation, your doubt and your faith, the closer you move your faith to your doubt, the less your stress. But the further you move your faith from your doubt, the more your stress. And so that's in our own lives all the time. You got your doubts, and here's your faith over here somewhere. You got a lot of stress. So just remember, if you want to ease your stress level, pull in your faith. And the closer your faith is to that doubt, the better off you're going to be. Amen? So that's just some awesome stuff, and I like to hang on to that in any time. James chapter 1. We're going to talk about the Word of God. I was studying last night, and as I was studying last night about the Word of God, the Word of truth, we all know that we have to have truth in our lives. Amen? Got to have truth. Look at somebody and say, we got to have truth. You know, according to a recent Gallup poll, 82% of Americans believe that the Bible is either literal or the inspired Word of God. More than half stated that they read their Bibles at least monthly. Let me do that one again. According to a recent Gallup poll, 82% of Americans believe that the Bible is either the literal or the inspired Word of God. More than half stated that they read their Bible at least monthly. There was a lady on a plane reading her Bible. And a man sitting beside her who was an atheist said, he tried to be a little smart with her and said, what you reading there, lady? She said, I'm reading the Bible. He said, what you reading about? He said, I'm reading about Jonah. He says, you believe that hogwash about him being swallowed by a fish and staying alive for 3 days? She says, I sure do. He said, well, how in the world can he stay alive for 3 days in the belly of the fish? She says, well, when I get to heaven, I'll ask him. She said, what if he didn't make it to heaven? She said, well, then you ask him. Woo! Awesome. Awesome. So now, even though they read the Bible at least monthly, yet half of the people in this poll could not name one of the four Gospels. Could not name one of the four Gospels, and fewer than that half who did know delivered the sermon, who delivered the Sermon on the Mount. They didn't even know who delivered that. Now, can you imagine? We live in the Bible Belt, and even in the Bible Belt now, the knowledge of the Bible is sinking further and further and further. I told you I had guys at work that would tell me things like, preacher, tell those guys the Bible says birds of a feather flock together. It don't say that. Preacher, tell them that the Bible says in the last days you only be know the end. You only know the seasons by the blooming of the fig tree. I said, don't say that. And constantly, these things that were handed down over and over and over again, the Bible doesn't say that. Okay, so again, if we're illiterate to the Word, then we're not going to know how to make a stand in these last days. So it's important that we understand what's going on around us and know the Word of God. Now, we're going to read James chapter 1, verse 19. I'm going to take my time with it, so I'm probably going to just hit a little bit of it and let us go home since it's already dark. Have y'all noticed that? It's amazing what an hour can do. Matter of fact, you know, I'm used to it being so light in here, being light, and now it's dark. You know, things sure do change when the time changes. But if you notice, it's been getting darker earlier and earlier and earlier. And about last week, I was looking at about 6:30, 7 o'clock. I said, man, it's getting dark. I said, I wonder what it's going to be like on Sunday when the time changes. Here it is. It's dark. Amen. Where were you when the lights went out? I was in the dark. Amen. So now, James chapter 1, verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak. That's why God gave us two ears and one mouth. Amen? He wants us to hear twice as much as we talk. I try. Sometimes it don't work. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity, thank you, Lord, of naughtiness. Sometimes you just can't, sometimes words just won't come out. And receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Let me just break it down a little bit. Understand this, my beloved brethren, let every man be quick to hear, a ready listener, slow to speak, slow to take offense, and slow to get angry. For man's anger does not promote the righteousness of God, his wishes, and his requirements. So get rid of all uncleanness and the rapid outgrowth of wickedness, and in a humble, gentle, modest spirit, receive and welcome the word which, implanted and rooted in your hearts, contains the power to save your souls. Now, I want you to think about this. What saves us? The blood of Jesus Christ. But it says you put the word in your heart and it saves your soul. So you say, wait a minute, I thought that it was the blood alone that saves us. Well, you got to look at this a little stronger now. You got to understand, the blood of God saves us. The blood of God or blood of Jesus saves us. But at the same time, as we're walking through this world, we pick up attitudes. We pick up all kinds of things that we don't need to have. We pick up things that actually God detests. And without the Word of God, we don't know this. There's a lot of things that when I first got saved, I didn't know the Word of God. And I said, and I was doing things and still carrying on ways that I thought was fine. And as I began to learn the Word more and more and more, then I began to see there were certain things I needed to lay down. There were certain things I needed to pick up. But I didn't know it until I got in the Word. So it's important that we have the Word of God. Plus, when people come to us asking us questions and want to know things about God, how are we going to know about it if we don't know the Word? So it's very important. It will save us. And also, when you talk about souls, it also is not just speaking about you spiritually, but it's also talking about just your, not just your spiritually, but also your mind. If you don't want to go crazy in this world, you better learn the Word of God, because it's steady. It's like a rock. It'll keep you. All right? Amen? Make sense? Amen. So here we go. The Bible is a very practical book. Let's pray. Father, touch us. Open our minds. Open our eyes. Lord, let this word be strong in the name of Jesus we pray. Let us grow in the name of Jesus we pray. And church said, amen. So remember, Jesus Christ, his blood alone saves us. His blood alone gets us into heaven. But his word keeps us prepared and ready, so that we can do what we got to do between here and there. Because there's a lot of people that got lost between here and there. Have you ever got lost between here and there? Amen. Okay, the Word will keep you from doing that. Now the Bible is a very practical book, and it's very beneficial. The Word of God is a moral mirror. The Bible tells us that, which the Holy Spirit uses to enable us to see ourselves as we really are. If I see myself in the Word of God, it's like when I take counseling classes. Usually when I'm taking counseling classes, especially in the very beginning, taking counseling classes, I found myself many a time going away sad, because as I was trying to figure out how to help others, I found out first I had to find out about myself. Because and I remember I was supposed to be through UNC at Pitt Hospital. I was getting ready to take a chaplaincy program called CPE, Clinical Pastoral Education. I was going to take it through the MS, a couple-of-year course, and I was getting ready to take this course. Of course, my wife got sick, and then I had to wind up not being able to go. But I remember when I applied for it, and as I applied for it and filled out the resume and had all this stuff, and there was a bunch of people applying for it, but only a handful were going to be able to take it because it required you staying at the hospital one night a week. It put you in different places, emergency room, cancer centers, and it was just a constant heavy thing. Plus, you had to take classes in the daytime at least once a week. And so they were trying to fix it so you could still pastor your church effectively, but still take the CPE program through UNC. And I remember, after I filled out all the paperwork and filled out the resume, and I turned it in, a couple weeks later, I get a call to come to Pitt Memorial Hospital. That the director of this UNC chaplaincy program wanted to talk to me. I said, all right. I said, he got to talk to you first before you can get in the program. By the time he got through with me, I honestly didn't even think I was, you know, I wasn't sure I could find my way out the door. He had me so befuddled and had me so looking at myself in so ways that when all the time I got, I'm thinking, he's not going to put me in this program. He's probably going to tell me, you ain't can't even go back out in the hospital. Of course, a week or two later, I got back and said, congratulations, you've been accepted in this program. And I was thinking, wow, you sure made me feel bad on the way to get into this program. But what he was trying to do is, again, he was showing me on a level that I didn't normally see myself. Wow. Do you know, we see ourselves on one level with the mirror. We see ourselves in a perceived manner. We see ourselves in a true manner, and both of them are different. Others see us in a perceived manner. Very seldom do they see us in the absolute true manner as you see yourself. But then you got God who sees us in a true manner. Not perceived, he knows. And when you take God's word and you look at it, sometimes you get, have you ever looked at the word in God and got an ouchie moment? The reason you got an ouchie moment is God says, okay, sit down. We're going to talk. I know what you perceive you are. I know what you think you are. I know what you think you can do, and I know what you think you know, but here's what I know. And when you see it, you get your ouchie moment. I've been serving God now for many, many years, been pastoring for many, many years, and still, many times during the week, I get an ouchie moment. But you know what? I thank God for the ouchie moments, because the ouchie moments keep me safe. The ouchie moments keep me growing. The ouchie moments help me keep moving forward, as long as I don't keep getting the same ouchie over the same thing. If you keep getting the same ouchie over the same thing, eventually you won't even care, and you'll go numb to it, and then God's going to try to talk to you, and you don't get ouchie anymore. So I pray, God, that we all keep that ability to have that ouchie moment. And I also pray that the ouchie moments are not the same ones every time. If your ouchie moment is still the same one you had last year, something's wrong. You should be growing. So here we go. Here we go. So we look in God's word to see who we really are and how we really are. But the problem is, not many people today even read the Bible. I asked some of my kinfolk not long ago, were trying to debate the Bible with me, and I don't want to be debating with anybody, especially somebody that doesn't know the Bible. And they got on me, and they wouldn't leave me alone. They were on me like I don't know. They were just on me. Kind of like Maddie when I got a bone. They were all over me. And as I'm trying to talk to these people, I'm trying to push them away. I don't want to argue. And I began to hear what they had to say, and their whole basis, their whole premise of their great knowledge of the Bible is, I've got a friend 30 miles away that's a pastor, and I got a friend that's 50 miles away that's a Christian, and they keep me informed. And I only see them once every 3 or 4 months. The Bible tells us not to get caught up in a debate with those kind of people. In this world today, many people do not understand the Bible. It's not because we don't have a Bible. It's not because there's not one in just about everywhere you go. The Bible's in almost every home in America. The problem is not that it's not read and it's not applied. You can benefit from this Bible, but you've got to read it and you've got to apply it. When you read it and apply it, then it becomes very relevant in your life. The more you read, the more you understand. As a matter of fact, the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. And so you might see something in the Old Testament, and you read it and go, I'm not sure what this is talking about. And then you get in the New Testament and start reading and go, wow, they're talking about the same thing in the Old Testament, but now it's giving me the answer. So you can look in the Bible, in the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's a very powerful, powerful thing. So first, if you want to learn the Word of God, it's so important that we learn the Word of God. It's so important that we have the Word of God in us. We need to be saturated with the Word of God, especially in this last day and time, because the Bible says in the last day, many are going to just give over to having itching ears, meaning they're just trying to hear something that's going to tickle their ears. They're going to try to do something that's going to make them feel good, and they're going to feel good. But you know what? You just think they're doing fine. But you know, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. And so it's important. He might not send you to hell, but if you don't know the word of God, but I can tell you one thing, you'll never be able to be as full or as productive as you can be, because the word of God, the blood of Jesus gets us ready for heaven, but the word of God gets us ready for earth. I don't know about you, but sometimes I have an attitude problem. Anybody in here ever have one? Sometimes in here, I put my mouth in gear while my brain's still in neutral. Sometimes I find myself eating people up when I shouldn't be. And usually the persons I eat up are not. Maybe you say, well, I've never seen you eat up anybody. No, but if you were living in my house, you might. You know, usually it's who you're giving birth to or one of your close friends or something. That might be the person you eat up, but the other ones you might not. So you got to understand it's important that we see us through the Word of God, that we can find a relevancy in our life through the Word that's going to help us to stand strong. Not going to keep you long. Watch this first. If you're going to benefit from the Word of God, and you're saying, well, now is it dark outside? It's dark in here. No, it's not. I promise you it's going to get a little lighter. I promise. Get ready. If we had to, we'll turn the lights on bigger in here, but it's going to get lighter. Ready? First, you must be receptive to His Word. Maddie and Inky, my two dogs. Inky's finicky, plus Inky was an abused dog. She was very abused. And because she was very abused, they had to take her out of this pen with all these dogs. These dogs were beating her up all the time. And I know you can say, what's this got to do with anything? This actually can be applied to people's lives. Inky, if there's such a thing for dogs, Inky has CTSD. Complex trauma syndrome. Okay? She's got this. She was abused constantly. And there was a big dog. And this big dog, or another dog, was in the living room, was her guard. They went to the door for her and came back in. And she got close to this dog. She's done the same thing with Maddie. But Maddie, all Maddie's got to do is just get up and act like she's going to do something. And Inky just falls right down. Bless Inky's heart. So we have to kind of play referee sometimes and get them. So even though Maddie's not meaning anything by it, Inky still. And Inky will lay down. As hardly a day goes by when Inky's sleeping, and you don't see her start jerking and start crying and start whining in her sleep. So she's having these dreams of being tortured by these other dogs. Well, it also sometimes makes her very finicky. So what we did was, and also her hands were getting dry from the allergies coming in, her paws. And so she's getting finicky and her paws are getting dry. So we decided to get some canned food to mix with her dry food. And so we mix it all up. And then it says, mix it all up and put it down there and she'll eat it. Inky goes crazy when that canned food comes out. Inky will eat in that bowl and she will eat all the canned food and leave the dry food. Then it says, did she eat it? And I said, well, let me just tell you something. Same thing with DC when he was little. You put bananas in the cereal. You come back, you ate bananas and left the cereal. I said, Inky ate the bananas and left the cereal. She does it all the time. Sometimes we are guilty of taking the word of God that makes us feel good, but leaving the word of God that makes us grow. I do it. I've been it for years. I still sometimes say, Lord, I'd like to read some good stuff here. You know, but it's important because if we're to grow, sometimes God's word doesn't always make us feel good to begin with. But once we look in that mirror and see ourselves, you know, I always heard somebody stinks if they don't realize it, that they stink. I hear this all the time. I'm going to say, if you stink, son, just remember, other people have been smelling you for days. You just ain't smelled it. Well, sometimes our attitude stinks, and we don't realize it. And and we hurt people and harm people, and God's trying to help us get beyond that. But then when the word comes, we grab the bananas and leave the cereal and walk away just like we came, feeling good, but no change. So it's important, very important. We have to be ready to receive God's word. So then, my beloved brother, we just read it. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. The wrath of man. What's wrath? Wrath is more than just being upset. A lot of times wrath is when you really get in high gear and you think you're going to get things straight because you got in high gear. No, because it does not produce the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay aside the filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. So James tells us three things. I'm going to talk a little bit and then we're going to stop and start back next week. Three things. He tells us to receive the word of God. Receive. That word receive literally means to welcome, to show hospitality. So I'm just not going to peep it in one eye and then throw it to the side. I'm going to hold on to what it is, whether I like it or not. The word of God is the word of God. It's got power to help me. And this word is going to make me stronger and make me able to handle things and help me. Remember, stress. You've got your doubt or your problem, and you got your faith. The farther your faith is from your doubt and your problem, the greater your stress level. If you don't know the word of God, the Bible says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. The more word you put with it, the closer that faith gets to that problem and the less stress you have. The more stress you have, the more apt your flesh is to get in the way while you're trying to handle your problems. So it's very important. You get the word of God, put it in you, and let it come on in and reduce that stress level in your life. So it means to welcome, to show hospitality. I mean, it needs to be in you. The word of God is used for how we receive others into our home. Cultivate a heart and life that welcomes the word. Humility, openness, and receptivity. Now watch this. I got one thing to do, and I'm going to close. Somebody say amen. Get ready. Jesus described four kinds of hearts. I mean, I remember what was his name? I can't remember his name. Praise the Lord. Your cheating heart. Who sang that? Who wrote it? Not Chuck Berry. Who was it? Your cheating heart will tell on you. Hank Williams. Thank you. Your cheating heart will tell on you. You'll cry and cry the way I do. We get ready. We're going to talk about hearts, all right? God's very much into hearts. He wants us to implant his word. David said, your word have I hid in my, that I will not against. Okay, so get ready. Four kinds of hearts. Here he goes. The Bible says in Matthew, it says in 13, verse 3, and he spake many things unto them of parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and some fowls came and devoured them. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of the earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and a thorn sprung up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Hear ye, verse 18, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, here it is, then the wicked one, Satan, catched away that which was sown in his heart, that is he which received the seed by the wayside. He that received the seed in the stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receive it, yet he hath no root in himself, but dureth for a while. When tribulation and persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he's offended. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receives seed in the good ground is he that heareth the word, understands it, which also beareth fruit. Some bring forth 100-fold, 60, and some 30. So here's the four kinds of hearts. The first heart is the hard heart. God, please don't let me get the hard heart. Amen. You know, it seems like if any time my heart starts getting hard, things will happen that'll make me it just changes me. I get in these situations where it just hurts so bad. You know, God will allow you to see things in a whole different way when you start getting hard-hearted. If you ask God to help you, he's got ways to melt that heart. The hard heart did not understand or receive the word, and therefore it bore no fruit. Then there's the shallow heart, very emotional, but had no depth, and it bore no fruit. God, please don't let me be shallow. And I can promise you, if you listen to the stuff that goes on in this pulpit and in these classes, and even when they're singing stuff, if you'll listen, there's no need for anybody in this church to have a shallow heart, because shallow stuff is not being put forth here. It's all in depth. Everything that goes forth. I'm telling you, I hear some of the things people say and it just blows me away. I hear some of the stuff going on when I walk by in the Sunday school room and it just blows me away. We don't have a reason for a shallow heart. You may have some kinfolk that don't go to church. They may come in here once every now and then. They come in here, they get emotional, and they do an emotional change, and they give their heart to God, and they go out of here and they don't come back. They don't learn of God. They got a shallow heart. The persecution comes and they're gone. We shouldn't have, y'all say we shouldn't have a shallow heart. Then there's the crowded heart. He said the one among the thorns. He's the one that lacked repentance. He permitted sin to crowd out the world, the word. You know, if you let your troubles crowd out the word in your life, then you're going to find yourself in a bad spot. God doesn't want us to let our troubles be so hard that we push aside the word and keep worrying about our problems to the point that it crowds the word totally out. Then there's the fruitful heart. The fruitful heart receives the word, they allow it to take root, and they produce a harvest of fruit. You know, God wants us to be productive. You say, well, I don't necessarily get around a whole bunch of people. You know what? God knows that. Your job might not be able to get around a bunch of people. Your job may be for one person. That one person may only talk to another person. And that person can wind up talking to hundreds. But without you talking to that person will never talk to hundreds. I don't worry about the size of my audience. You know, I've been taking a lot of counseling classes, and this has been awesome. Because in taking these counseling classes, it never fails. Whatever class I'm taking, I'll go places. I went to get supper the other night. I stopped to get supper, and the person that's helping me is looking so down and out. And so I began talking with this person, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, this is what you're studying right now. I was studying, of course, CTSD, a complex trauma syndrome. And so I began to talk to this person, and I said, as the person was really looking down and out, we got to talk a little bit further. I said, well, you're almost over. The shift's almost over. And then they just kept on talking. And the more they talked, here come all the signs and all the symptoms. And so I finally just said, how's things at the house? And the person said, well, they're okay now. I'd like to see my husband more, but I'm working out here. Said, but before he and I were together, this other person just would beat me and beat me and beat me and beat me. And I said, I want you to go home and I want you to look up CTSD. And so when I told her to look up CTSD, she said, while sitting, I started talking to her about it. And right there, all the crowd left. There was no crowd. None. God did it. And while I'm talking to her at the checkout line, she starts crying. And she says, please, can you hold on just a minute? And she went back and she got her piece of paper. And she says, now talk to me again. And we started talking. As the more we talked, and we talked for 15 minutes. And as we're talking, I watched her frown turn to her smile. And she said, I'm getting more relief right now than I've had in years. She said, thank you so much. And I was ordering a plate. Now, did I say that to put any pins on me? No, please, no pins on me, no medals on me. The point I'm trying to make is put medals on God and pins on God. Because what I was studying, then God gave me a chance to use it right there. And when I got ready to use it, I saw it in 15 minutes transform a person. 15 minutes. God put me right there at that time. I had the book in the car. I'd just been studying some of the stuff. Get out the car and there they are. I'm telling you. Now I could have said, well, you know what, Lord? Can't we find a place that's more comfortable? Do I have to stand behind a checkout line? Do I have to stand up here? And, you know, God, I put his conditions on God. No. You can be fruitful wherever you're at, in a checkout line. You can be fruitful standing in line, waiting to be checked out. You can be fruitful waiting in line at school for your grandyoungs. You can be fruitful sitting on the bench watching one of your grandyoungs play, and you hear somebody beside you start talking, and all of a sudden, here's your opportunity to tell them about God and lead them to the throne of grace. Don't be picky about where God wants you to be fruitful. You just ask God to give you wisdom. First, you got to put it in, because if you don't put it in, you can't bring it out. You got to put it in. That's the Word of God. Once you put the Word of God in, I can guarantee you, once you put the Word of God in, God will send somebody to you. It's always happened in my life constantly. Whatever I'm studying, God sends me somebody or sends something. Trust God to use you to bloom, to show somebody the Word of God. But if you don't have it, you're going to say, man, I wish I had listened. I wish I had paid attention. I wish I had got that down in my soul. I wish I had paid attention. I wish I had studied that now because I need it. You don't have it. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. You can trust it. You can trust it when you can't trust anything else. God wants us to be productive. Let Him use us. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand. I told you I won't keep you long now. I'm just going to stop it right there. Be swift to hear, to understand. Be slow to speak or to break the silence. Be swift to hear, understand, come to a conclusion. Be slow to speak or to break the silence. Be slow to wrath, a violent passion. Sometimes even implementing punishment, indignation, vengeance, wrath. Be slow to wrath. I saw a poster one time that said, temper is such a valuable thing, it's a shame to lose it. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, that you've got power for all of us, Lord. You've got a calling for all of us. It may not be in some big stadium somewhere. It may not be behind a pulpit. It can be in a locker room. It can be by a weight bench. It can be at a grocery store. It can be in a checkout line. It can be at somebody's place of business. It can be with your coworkers. Help us, God, to understand the power of your word and how we need to get it in us so that we can get it out of us. and help somebody. Lord, we thank you for that opportunity. And Lord, help us to understand that we haven't got to reach 100. All we got to do is reach 1. And it starts. I ask you, God, to help us reach 1. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. Y'all, come back Tuesday night. I'm not sure if we're going to go back on the critical spirit, because we were talking about attitude, then went to critical spirit. So,